In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 21, tells us that a couple of Greeks, two men, came to one of Jesus' disciples, the one named Philip. They said to him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." It says Philip went and found Andrew, another disciple, and Andrew and Philip then brought these two men to Jesus. Well, today in John chapter 1, we're going to see the first time that Philip shows up and Andrew, and they are drawn to Jesus. And we're going to see in this text, it all ties together from verse 29 through the end of the chapter with seeing. Beginning with John the Baptist, seeing him see Jesus and call others to look to Jesus. And then the early disciples again, Andrew and Philip and Nathanael and Simon Peter. And then through the Old Testament scriptures that show up in here as well, they're announced that how the prophets and Moses saw Jesus from way back. And then we're going to specifically, because there's this great exchange between Jesus and Nathanael that's highlighted here, see the Son of God, if you will, through Nathanael's eyes, how he went from skepticism to seeing and believing really quickly when he saw Jesus. And then we're going to see greater things, meaning Jesus will say, "You will see greater things than these." He said that not only to Nathanael, but as he speaks to us today. So I have a challenge for you. Hesitant to call it a game, but a challenge. That is, as I read from John 1, verse 29 through 51, in these 22 verses, notice, or you can even count, you can use your fingers and your toes, how many references there are to seeing, looking, beholding, vision, if you will. See what number you come up with while also paying attention to hear what God has for us through his word. John chapter 1, if you want to see it along with me and you have your Bible, John 1 starting at verse 29. The next day, John, that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen, and I testify that this is God's chosen one.' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.' He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Did you see all the seeing? Anyone come up with a number? I hear 14. 14 over here. Do I hear 15 over here? Do I hear? I heard a 17. I heard a 17 again. When I counted through the NIV here, as far as seeing, looking, those types of words, I also came up with 17. We could also, you know, stretch it a bit and say when they found and reveal, there'd be even more. But at least 17 references to seeing, looking, especially to Jesus, but also Jesus seeing and looking at others as well. So with John the Baptist, in verse 29, it says the next day, that's the next day after John had been baptizing in the Jordan River, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look." And I like the word, and the King James, I believe, some other translations, ESV probably use this word, "behold," right? Because it's not just, "Hey, look at that." This is "behold." There's this gravity to it, this way, look and take in what you're seeing here. This is very significant. "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. Now, there's no other reference to anyone else in all history with this title. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This was John's whole mission in one verse, in a sense, was to go ahead, prepare people, and then when Jesus comes on the scene, to say, "Look, there he is. If you've been following me, now follow him." John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He said, "This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Again, who else could this be said of than the Son of God, the Lamb of God, Jesus? He was before me, way before me, and now he has surpassed me, even though I have been ahead of him preparing and sharing this message, "Get ready." And here he is, "Look, the Lamb of God." And then it says John gave this testimony. The word testimony, as well as the word witness, the Greek word behind them is martyrus. This is the root, the word martyr. Martyr simply means to see and then witness or testify about. And yet so many of the early followers of Jesus were killed, persecuted for their faith. The word martyr came to mean one who suffers or even dies for what they say. But here he says he gave this testimony, this martyr speech. "I saw the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "come down from heaven as a dove, remain on him." Again, that was right after Jesus was baptized. John said, "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" Then John says, "I have seen and I testify." There's the word martyr again. "I witness to this man that he is God's chosen one." And in John's gospel, right after that, we don't really see John the Baptist anymore. That was his mission. You know, we'll hear about him again later on, but his mission in pointing to Jesus, in a sense, is now complete. Goes on from there through the early disciples. It says the next day after that, then, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. So two men who had been following John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. They're doing exactly what John the Baptist was hoping. Don't follow me now. Follow the Lamb of God. So they're following Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Can you imagine Jesus turning to you and saying, "What do you want?" But they ask, in this case, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says to them, "Come," that means "come with me, and you will see." There's so much more. By the way, there's so much going on in here. We're not going to cover it in this time together. We're going to cover a little more in our Bible hour, though, in this same text to let you know. So these two disciples of John, now following Jesus, went and saw where Jesus was staying. And they spent that day with him. We don't hear it. We don't see that. Again, that's going on now behind the scenes, if you will, what that day was like, spending the rest of the day with Jesus where he was staying. Now it tells us one of them was Andrew, one of those two disciples, who was Simon Peter's brother, who had heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the first thing Andrew did then was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought Simon to Jesus. This is what Andrew does. "We have found the Messiah." Jesus looked at him, that is, at Simon. So Andrew has found his brother Simon, brought him to Jesus, and here's a different word than just "see," but it says Jesus looked at Simon. The Greek word here for "look" is emblepo. It means to look with concern, with love, with interest, to kind of have a locked-in gaze. This is a beholding kind of look is what it is. And Jesus now looks intently at Simon and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." That's Aramaic. In Greek, it's Petros. It means rock. Now, interestingly, here we don't hear from Simon. We're going to hear much more about Peter, Simon Peter, and hear from him as we go through the gospel accounts. But in this case, he's brought to Jesus. Jesus looks intently at him and says, "You will be called Cephas." More to follow with that. And then we know about Philip. Goes on to the next day after that, the next day again. Jesus decided to leave for Galilee from the area of the Jordan River near Bethany. Now they head north into Galilee. And Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Then Philip found Nathanael. We have all sorts of these connections going on. And told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote." We're going to come back to Nathanael shortly. Go on, though, because Philip had said, "We've found the one." He didn't say the one who's going to transform everything, the one who's going to bless you and make your life perfect. "We have found the one who has a plan for you, Nathanael," and we're going to read. He didn't even say, "We found the Christ," which is what Andrew had said. But he said, this is an interesting introduction, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote." Moses, referring to the first five books of the Bible, we call the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, or the Torah, which really means, often translated law, but it really covers all of God's teaching and instruction, and underneath that is the law and awe that Moses wrote about. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the one Moses wrote about, and the one all the prophets also wrote about. All the prophets. Well, the ones who wrote, we have the books of the prophets who wrote what they had seen and witnessed to from God: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. We found him. The books of Moses, all those prophets, the ones they wrote about, Nathanael, here he is. Here he is. Well, seeing the Son of God now through Nathanael's eyes, we have this, it all kind of leads to this in the end of the first chapter of John. This fascinating exchange between Jesus and Nathanael. Philip introduces Jesus to Nathanael with this Old Testament, Law of Moses, prophets introduction. But then he also said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So I can imagine Nathanael up to this point, Philip saying, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote." And Nathanael saying, "Oh, what?" Leaning in on this. And then Philip goes on, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And that word Nazareth is specified that Nathanael kind of, whoa, rocks back a bit. Okay, I'm hearing you about Moses. I'm hearing you about the prophets. Nazareth. And we get Nathanael's response here: "Can anything good come from Nazareth, is what he said. And then Philip says, come and see. We have to pause on that. And it's easy to read that and saying, well, and Joanne Alswig can tell us about Nazareth. She's lived there, amazingly. But there's some reason why Nathanael would respond this way. First of all, he apparently knows the Old Testament. He's responding to what Moses wrote about. He's responding to the prophets. And you know, Nazareth isn't mentioned in Moses or the prophets as the place where the Messiah will come from. In fact, later on in John's Gospel, chapter 7, just to give you a little context here, the religious leaders of the day also felt the same way, really. By the way, Nazareth is in Galilee, and so is Cana, which is where Nathanael came from. We find that out later in John as well. But here in John chapter 7, on hearing this, Jesus has been speaking, and some of the people said, surely this man, talking about Jesus, is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, ready, but how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Again, Nazareth is in Galilee. So even Galilee, this whole region, they're like, that's not where the Messiah is going to come from. Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke this the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he has deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? And they replied, here it is again, are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you will find that a prophet does not come from Galilee. So there was this understanding, this belief among the religious leaders and among many, if not most of the Jews, the Messiah is not going to come from Galilee, let alone Nazareth. Again, an obscure small town that people in the Old Testament, I don't even know if it existed in the Old Testament until much later. And so they're saying, there's no way he can come from there. Well, Nathanael, he's familiar with Nazareth. He grew up in Cana, which was not very far from Nazareth. So he would have known about this place, and so that's what rocks him back from what Philip had said. And he broadens it out. Can anything good come from Nazareth? We know the answer. Yeah, the best good. Amazing. Well, then Philip is bringing Nathanael to Jesus, and Jesus sees them coming. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, Jesus said, so that Nathanael could hear him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Interesting statement. And how does Nathanael respond? He's rocked back again. And Nathanael then says, how do you know me? There's a lot going on in these short statements. Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit or no guile. How do you know me? A true Israelite. Not one who merely says, I'm a descendant of Abraham, you know, so I'm an Israelite. God in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, other places will say, you know, to be a true follower of me is not merely to go through the motions, not merely to check off the boxes, not merely to be a descendant of Abraham, be a circumcised one who goes to the temple, etc. People go through these motions, offer the sacrifices, but their hearts are far from me. If Jesus says, here is a true Israelite, this is a true son of God who seeks God with all his heart, who, as we can discern from Philip's introduction, who has studied Moses, who has studied the prophets, who is looking, who is seeking the Messiah, the one who Moses wrote about. So when Jesus says, here is a true Israelite in whom there's no deceit, no guile, what you see, what you hear, as we kind of already heard, is what you get. He is looking for God. He is looking into God's word. He studies to know who God is. Truth resonates with truth. Here is Jesus, who is the truth. Everything he says is true, saying about Nathanael, "In you there's no deceit." This is high praise. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "There's no guile in this person"? Well, Nathanael, that resonates within him so much, so deeply. How do you know me? How do you know me? How do I know you? Jesus said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, this is literal in the sense that Nathanael was apparently under a fig tree. And when Philip went to find him, he was under this fig tree. There's a lot, again, more than simply a geographical from afar seeing. "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, Nathanael knew the writings of Moses. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, you know, we learn a lot about Abraham and his wife Sarah. Sarah had a maidservant named Hagar. There's this whole story we read about in Genesis 16 and leading up into that. But Hagar ran away, and she was distraught. But there's this time when she's run away from Sarah, run away from Abraham, and the Lord, through an angel of the Lord, comes and speaks to her, to Hagar. And Genesis 16:13, it says, "Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees me.' For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me, who came and spoke to me and who came and found me.'" And Nathanael may not be thinking of that verse, but he's responding in a similar way. He's like, "You are the one who sees me. And now I have seen the one that Moses wrote about, that the prophets wrote about, who sees me." I think of this also as a Psalm 139 effect. This is a well-known psalm. Psalm of David. Nathanael would have been familiar with these as well, with this writing. Just the first three verses, Psalm 139, "You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me." You ever experienced that? "Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar, whether I'm under the fig tree, or at home, or at school, or at work, or on the road. You know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." All of that is in Nathanael's reaction and response, this effect when Jesus says, "I saw you." Underneath that, "I know you. I'm familiar with all your ways, Nathanael, before Philip ever came to you." And Nathanael is rocked back. "How do you know me? I saw you." The depth of this is given in Nathanael's response, who had gone from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Everyone probably has a blind spot, you know. Jesus, what's keeping us from truly seeing and believing fully in who he really, really is? For him, Nazareth. But boy, after this brief exchange that we read about, he goes from skepticism to Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Wow. Nathanael is saying way more than he even in that moment fully probably grasps or understands. We'll read about that again with Simon Peter later when he declares very similarly, and yet he doesn't fully understand what it means that Jesus is the Messiah. None of them actually did until after the cross and after the resurrection. We have the benefit of hindsight. We look back, we know the end result. We know who Jesus is. And yet, every time any one of us says, "Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe he is not only King of Israel, but he is the King of kings and Lord of lords on the throne of David, which is over all creation for all time." I believe that. I say that when we say the Apostles' Creed. We say what we believe about Jesus, who he is, where he came from, that he's coming again. And yet, does any one of us fully grasp all that we're saying. Even just the one, I believe he's the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. I know it's true. The depth of that. I believe he is the Son of God. In human form, died on the cross, rose again. We're saying way more than we'll, in this life, fully comprehend, and yet it's all there and it's all true in that confession. Well, Jesus then said, you believe, he said this to Nathanael, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. Yeah. You, Nathanael, will see greater things than that. And if you're listening to the reading from Genesis that Jason read just a little bit ago, Genesis chapter 28, heard that that dream that Jacob had, this vision that he had, where he saw a ladder or a stairway between heaven and earth. Heaven opened above, the Lord was there above, and what were ascending and descending? Between heaven and earth. Angels that he saw. And then Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. And he called that place, what we call this place, Bethel. House of God. The presence of God right here. Bethel. Well, Jesus, clear allusion to that vision of Jacob when he says, very truly, I tell you. In the Greek, the very truly is amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Truth, truth, I tell you. You will see greater things. You will see, Nathanael, heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, not on a stairway, not on a ladder, but on the Son of Man, Jesus said. On me. I am the connection between heaven and earth. I am the way to heaven being open for you. I am the way to the spiritual reality, which right now is unseen, the angels included. You will see, Nathanael. To grow in our understanding of Jesus, as Nathanael did, as Simon Peter did, as all the disciples did, as we as disciples are to do, Peter would later write, at the end of his second letter, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue to grow. And to grow in that knowledge is to grow in our understanding of all these references. And I'm just going to breeze through them because I'm guessing you may not have noticed them all. You probably did notice, but not how many are in this one text. Here's all the references or different titles that were mentioned about Jesus in this reading. Lamb of God. Twice. God's chosen one, Rabbi, Messiah, Christ, the one Moses wrote about, the one the prophets all wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, son of God, King of Israel, and then Jesus' own reference to himself, Son of Man, which ties him with all humanity, which also ties him to a vision that Daniel had about the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God. All those titles, could we fully grasp them? We grow in our grace and knowledge by seeking to understand what they all mean about Jesus. Well, if you didn't notice all those initially, I hadn't either till I went back through and said, this is what they saw. John the Baptist, early disciples, Moses and the prophets, Philip bringing to Nathanael, and then Nathanael seeing so much. Something else, and here's the final thing that I'm fairly confident you didn't see, unless you recently read the last verse in Greek, because I didn't see it, and we don't see it in English, but here it is. When Jesus says to Nathanael, truly, truly, amen, amen, I tell you, Nathanael, then he says, you will see heaven open. Here's the thing. That next you, when he says you will see heaven open, is not singular, Nathanael. It's plural. It's the plural Greek word for you, like you all. So he's speaking, John wrote this knowing that people will read this. He wrote this account so that we would read it and hear it today. And that we're included, all who believe in Jesus, Jesus is speaking to you and me right here. brothers and sisters, go through and Jesus would look at you and say, all of your names, I've seen you, I know you. Listen, if you believe in me, Jesus says, you will see. Hear this, you will see heaven open. You will see heaven open. Jesus says to you, and you will see angels of God. Can you see this? Going way back with Jacob, but now with Jesus. Him telling you, believer, you will see angels of God ascending and descending between heaven and earth on the Son of Man, meaning you will see me and heaven open and glory in eternity. He says that to us. We could say, and this is true, Jesus really is the new Bethel. We say, God is in this place. Jesus is in this place. Jesus came here on earth to prepare a place in heaven, shed his own blood so that he could take all who believe in him, would take all who believe in him to be with him forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we also read in your word in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is knowing what we do not see. We read in Romans 10 that faith comes through hearing your word. But by faith, we see you in a way that Jesus promises and says again here, one day we will actually see angels. We will actually see heaven open. We will actually see you, Jesus, face to face in glory. And all of this, all these words and sightings from John the Baptist through the early disciples, from Moses and the prophets, and from here today, is your Holy Spirit at work to show people you, that we would come to faith in you and that we will be with you and see you in eternity. Thank you, Lord, for this word and this promise and this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.